Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Anna.
Hi, Shireen.
How are you? Actually, it's a silly question.
Well, I'll answer. I feel a lot of things, but mostly I feel like we are on the precipice. Didn't mean to say, emphasize piss so hard, but precipice of some real change, I hope.
Yeah.
So I feel somewhat optimistic. I feel like we're hitting a turning point. I feel like people are finally truly being heard, which is, it's a nice feeling to know that so many people are behind the Black Lives Matter movement at that, like, it's like the foot's on the gas, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think if you're not upset, or not even just upset, if you're not feeling a lot right now, then you have a little bit of privilege to check, because there's a lot going on. And if you don't have a little bit of compassion or a little bit of anxiety or restlessness or just the drive to help, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, like, you're probably, you're probably not listening to the podcast if you're one of those people, but I do think it's important to really be present in this moment and to help in any way you can. And sometimes that means learning, sometimes that means having conversations, and sometimes those conversations can be uncomfortable, but
sometimes just listening and reading,
yeah,
and like taking it,
educating
in
yourself
and not commenting, just listening,
yeah,
and being like, okay, I hear what these people are saying.
Yeah. And that can be really hard when social media is for the most part so much about the individual, and you've been led to believe that social media is about you posting about yourself constantly all the time. And it is like that for a lot of, it's been like that for our whole, like the whole time social media has been a thing. It's just a platform for yourself. And I think really taking a seat, and if you're not Black, to just be the person to absorb rather than to put out, unless it's like helpful information for others, as far as your own content, I think it's a good learning lesson, and a learning lesson that's like a kind of repetitive, but you know what I mean? It's an evaluation of how we can use social media to better ourselves and to better our society. So we wanted to dedicate an episode basically to tell you how you can help, to give you resources, to be present in this moment with you. We're recording this on June 4th, just to let you know for the time in case something else happens. But as of now, George Floyd's, all of his murderers have been arrested. there's a long road down to see if they're actually going to be held accountable and
yeah.
charged in the way that we want them to be. But it is a step in the right direction,
and
I think that was only possible because of how loud everyone was. You know, that's like it should give you momentum to keep going and demand the same for Breonna Taylor and for David Akiti and all these people. And I don't know. It's just, I hope we keep going. You know what I mean? I don't want to lose steam. And I have faith in the movement and all the steam that we've been generating.
Yeah. And I was going to say that Derek Chauvin, the main officer who murdered George Floyd with his knee on his neck, they've pushed his murder charge to second degree.
Yeah.
Which is something, but let's be real. That was first degree murder. That was, well, first degree, yes. Actually, is that premeditated? Let me actually.
But
confirm.
I will say, you know, yeah, I will say it's easier to convict the second degree than it would be the first degree, because I think if you had a jury that had any doubt in, because for first degree has to be premeditated.
So yes, first degree is premeditated. Second degree is not, but both are intentional. So
exactly,
I believe. Because third degree was manslaughter, and you don't, again, accidentally sit with your knee on someone's neck.
No,
that's not an accident.
Not.
You are doing that purposefully to cause harm without the care that harm might be death. Like, that's a lack of care. So that's, I believe, second degree. A part of me is like, maybe it was premeditated, but that's my mind jumping everywhere because, I don't know.
Just because I have, like, a distrust in the justice system, and I don't think we should, like, I just don't think we should like be that trusting of it. I think second degree is as like I don't want it to be first degree because I have more faith that he would get charged in the way we want, keeping it second degree. And I've heard this same argument from lawyers and stuff, so I kind of trust that. But
I hope so.
But so many people have lost their lives, and I mean, I feel like Tony McDade has been kind of
fallen off a little.
Yeah, fallen off the radar because no one's paying attention. But it's really unfortunate how some sects of humanity like disregard Black people, disregard Black trans people. But yeah, so I guess we can just go through some resources that will be in our footnotes. I really love what you did last week. You started a huge document on Google Docs, just combining all the resource or all the donation information, and you've been adding to it every day. And I really, really commend you for that, because having like a condensed, like go-to place to go is really helpful, not only for like the individual, but for something to share, you know, it's really, really helpful. So I'm really glad you did that.
Yeah. So I've put together a list of different places you can donate to. It's categorized in three places. It's organizations that are working with protesters and to just help in general, like either like create change within the community long term or in this moment while protesters are being brutalized by police in the streets. It also has GoFundMes for David McAtee, Tony McDade, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor. It has a GoFundMe for homeless Black trans women. Chris Redd put together a COVID-19 protest relief fund. That's in there. There's many organizations in there. I also have a list of bail funds by cities linked in there. So you can find your city or you can find your closest city and you can donate to help protesters who've been arrested to bail them out. And then there's also links for mutual funds that you can donate to. And mutual funds are a good thing because this money is used to help people who need it within their communities. And I posted a bunch for a bunch of different cities. And this money can go help pay groceries. It can help with rent. It can help with any bill, honestly, it can help with. And people just fill out a form and they request the help. And it, for the most part, it like works better than like a government system where there's so much red tape and you have to jump through all these hoops. And then in the end, they might come back and accuse you of, you know, abusing the system. It's just an easier way for people who need help to get it. And usually, you know, a lot of these people who do need the help are minorities, Black and brown people who live in lower income communities who basically get fucked by these government systems that doesn't care about them. And that's the sad truth we live in. So the more money you can give to these mutual funds who are helping their communities, I think the better. you know, sometimes, I mean, for the most part, you can't put your faith in the government to do much. No, so it really comes down to us, the people, and these organizations that are created by the people to help these communities who have basically, the government has turned their back on them. And now it's up to us to step up. And that's kind of where we are at now. And people are starting to realize. And I mean, of course, there's so much more work to be done. Like we are barely at the beginning. And we have to continue this momentum. Like we've got here, we've gotten this far. Don't let it fade away. Don't let it just disappear. We have to keep working. We have to keep listening. We have to keep reading. And a big thing I've been telling people is to not let their ego get in the way. Like there's no point in feeling like we're all wrong in some way. Like we're all learning. You're not going to know everything and how to deal with everything and how to take everything on. Like humans are complicated people. We are all learning. And if you are a white person and you are literally like, I don't know what to do, that's okay. You're allowed to be honest. Don't expect Black people to basically educate you on everything.
Yeah.
It's as easy as Googling, how can I help with the Black Lives Matter movement? It's that easy. Like, you can do that. There's no shame in that. It's okay to admit that you've lived a life of privilege where you've never had to think about these kind of things. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That just is what it is. No one is trying to make you feel bad about it. Just like take the opportunity that you have right now to like literally just Google great voices in the Black community to follow on Twitter. And they will, there are already, these lists exist for a reason. They exist to educate you. So you can just do that. And then all of a sudden you have all these great people, these great voices who are giving you resources, tweeting them out that you can follow. And then there you go. You don't have to you don't have to bother anyone. You did it yourself. You took the steps to do it yourself. Yeah. And that's what matters. You got to take the steps to educate yourself. And it's so easy. We live in a world where options are endless. It's all in front of us on your computer screen. So you don't have an excuse to be like, I can't help. Sorry, I'm lost. You're not lost.
Yeah.
It's 2020, baby.
Yeah.
you can find anything you want on the internet. Yeah.
You're completely right. I think taking that initiative is so important right now, especially when you have privilege, because privilege is not a negative thing. It has a negative connotation only if you want it to. You can use your privilege for good. You can use your privilege and uplift other voices. You can use you can check your privilege and then use it wisely. Unchecked privilege is when it gets kind of dangerous because you don't realize the position you're in, that you this world has been built for you, and then you just continue living as if nothing is wrong with anything else that doesn't directly affect you. That's not a way to live. Not having empathy is not a cool thing. Not caring about things that don't affect you doesn't make you an unpolitical person. This is not the time to say, I'm not political, I don't get involved, I'm not very active, whatever. If you really care, you will take initiative. You will Google things. I think especially right now, the news is so just skewed and it's completely propagandized. And so being active on Twitter and social media and Instagram and these social medias in particular, Twitter and Instagram, they're very active right now. So Anna's right. Just look up who you should follow. There are so many like graphics and ways to talk to people right now on Instagram. And it's a really thriving community. And I wish I had the time. I mean, maybe I should like just have like a list of all these Instagram posts that I've really liked with all these like infographics of how to talk to people and stuff. Maybe I will make that. So stay tuned because I think they're really helpful. And I feel like they only exist in the Instagram space right now. Maybe Twitter too. People are sharing them.
Yes, but you can also find people like Shireen to follow. Like we're all reposting stuff because
our
want
stories
people
are
to know.
Constant right now. Like our Instagram for the podcast, we're posting things constantly, sharing them, educating people, but it does boil down to you taking initiative and educating yourself, because it's not a Black person's job to spoon feed you why you should help. You should deep down know you have a duty to better the world and better your community that you live in, and sometimes that means checking your privilege and understanding how to use it wisely and better. I strongly encourage you to look up people to follow and see who what's being posted, because with the news right now, they're not posting all the videos of the police beating innocent protesters that aren't doing anything. There are so many videos on Twitter and on Instagram, and Twitter in particular, it's, you won't see the videos that you see on Twitter on the news.
No.
And so if you have family that only watches CNN, Fox, NBC, whatever, they're not going to see the same stuff, that the reality of the situation. Everything is skewed. There is no such thing as honest media. There is no such thing as honest media. So if you're someone that also isn't very active on Twitter, I have plenty of friends that don't even have a Twitter. But if you want the news from a good source, there are people on the ground right now giving it to you. Don't trust the media. And I would encourage you, if you have family that again only watches TV, share with them what you're seeing on Twitter. That is the reality of the world right now, not the news, not what the news is showing you, because we all know that Fox News is corrupt and skewed things, but the reality is other things are too. It's not just Fox News. It's the way a headline is worded. It's the way, I don't know. It's just really important right now to make sure the way you're receiving news is actually reality. And it's just understanding that the media is so corrupt, like inherently rooted in corruption.
Yeah,
is important to know, and just to keep an open mind.
And you know, the good thing about Twitter is it's constantly fact checking. Yeah. Like, people are fact checking nonstop. Like, to give an example, there's currently something infographic going around, and by the time you guys hear this, it might no longer be going around because of all the info spreading, but it's called #8CantWait.
Oh my God, it's so popular.
It's from a organization called Campaign Zero, which apparently is not looked upon fondly by the Black community. Black Lives Matter has asked people to not follow this because these are reforms that we should have seen in like the 50s. Like, this is not something we are asking for today. What we are asking for today is abolishing the police. We're not asking for reforms. We're asking for abolishment. Abolishment? I don't know if abolishment is the word, but we're asking to abolish the system. We're not asking to reform the system. We already know reforms, and I put that in quotes, is not going to work. You can tell a cop to stop another cop if he sees him doing something wrong. There's no accountability for something like that.
Not at all.
So we want to defund the police. We don't want the police to have this much money. The amount of money, like our current situation in LA, like $150 million is basically put towards the LAPD while our city is rampant with people who are living on the streets because there's no affordable housing. That's not how money should be distributed. People have come up with a thing called the people's budget, and that's a more realistic idea of how things should go in a just society. Because you cannot, like, to give some context, the police were created to uphold white supremacy. Like, the problem here is that white supremacy, and I don't mean like white supremacy like the KKK, I mean inherently ingrained systems and our feelings within us that make us believe that we, as white people, and I say we because I have the privilege of being white passing. Mm-hmm. I can walk around. You know, my experiences growing up were different, but on the streets, I have that privilege. And I mean, so we assume we are better than people who have darker skin than us, like Black people. We see them. That is white supremacy. It's not just the KKK. You say, well, I've never supported those groups. I voted for Obama. It doesn't matter. White supremacy is still here. It exists every single day, and that's the problem. We need to be acknowledging that whites are not better because their skin tone is lighter. Like, this is the issue. It's like, you see someone with a different skin, a darker skin tone with you, and you assume the worst because that is white supremacy. It's ingrained in us. We all have that problem. We all have to check ourselves.
It's important to know that the police were only created after slavery was abolished. The police they did not exist until slaves were free, and the white people wanted to make sure the slaves didn't want to get revenge. That's why the police were even created. That is literally a fact. Police didn't exist until Black people had freedom. That should make you think about the history of policing. I would strongly encourage you. This is also, we're going to link the Bechdel Cast, which is a podcast that we love. Our friends are on it, Jamie and Caitlin, woohoo. They made a really good link tree with other resources that will be also in our footnotes. But one of them is a free ebook called The End of Policing. If you follow me on Instagram, I posted about it. I also posted about it on Twitter. It's free for the ebook version. Verso Books is giving you this very educational book for free to really understand why policing and the act of policing needs to end. It is, not only is all our money being funneled into the police in a really egregious way, the fact that teachers have to buy their own supplies and policemen just get these Captain America shields just by like going outside during a riot, that is not correct. We have criminalized and militarized this country in a really terrifying way. And I strongly encourage you, if you want to do some reading about the origins of policing, how it got this corrupt, and why we should end it, this book is a really good resource. Again, the link to it will be in the Bechdel Cast link tree in our footnotes. You could also just Google The End of Policing. But yeah, the billions of dollars being funneled into not only the LAPD, but all of the police departments in this country, they can be funding college education. They can be helping with homelessness. The fact that the National Guard came to LA and took up 1,000 beds, like, why weren't the homeless given that opportunity for these 1,000 beds? Like, where did these beds come? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it should really make you think. The fact that the country militarized the police and gave them this stupid SWAT riot gear in a matter of hours or days, and then nurses and doctors had to wear like bandanas and had to wear like just trash bags instead of masks because they don't have correct PPE. Like that should really make you think about the priorities of this country. And I think what I'm really trying to get at is that this isn't an issue that you can disagree with. Black Lives Matter is not it should not be a controversial issue. I got in a fucking heated debate today, which I should really stop doing on Twitter with this white old lady. I'm fucking Vicky. I fucking hate you. But what really got me is that she still saw a nugget of disagreement in me saying that Black Lives Matter. And she said that just because someone disagrees with you doesn't make them wrong. And I say she's wrong. Mm-hmm. You can't disagree with Black Lives Matter. There are plenty of resources and educational things that tell you the dangers of the statement, all lives matter. There's plenty of stuff going around. I'm sure at this point you've probably heard about the idea, like if someone's house is on fire in the neighborhood, you're going to go help the people that are in that house versus pay attention to every other house on the street. I'm like summarizing this like metaphor that's been going around to explain why all lives matter doesn't make sense. But basically, if someone is bleeding and 100 people before him are completely fine, you're not going to make sure all those people are fine until you get to the bleeding out person. You're going to go to the bleeding out person. That's what Black Lives Matter is trying to just explain to you. That Black people for the longest time have been treated as subhuman. And if the videos don't convince you of that, of what police are doing, then I don't know what to tell you. I'm just mad. And I think it's good that I'm mad. I think I should stay mad. I'm going to stay mad for a long time. And I've been mad for a long time.
Got to stay motivated. But
yeah, just got to direct the anger and got to direct it to be productive. So I guess along the same lines, but I really do appreciate Bechdel Cast for this link tree. Other things on there are petitions that you can sign. If you have limited resources as far as money goes and you can't really donate right now, you can sign petitions. There are other funds on there, including the Tony McDade Mental Health Recovery Fund. There's a bunch of things you can sign up and participate in. They link Black Lives Matter. You can sign up and see the updates directly from them. But yeah, I just strongly encourage you to see that. And there's also a 150-year evaluation of the Minneapolis Police Department. It's been going around as the MPD 150. It's been really an educational good resource too. So check that out for more things, including that book I mentioned, The End of Policing.
Yeah, I was going to also recommend another book that I've read in the past. I read it as college thing back in the day. It's been a while, but I was recently thinking about it again because whenever I think of like how this country was built, and you know, this country was built by white people specifically to keep down black people. Like that was the whole concept of this United States of America. And I always think about this book, Things Fall Apart. It was written by a Nigerian author, Chinua Achebe. I don't know if I'm saying that right, and I'm sorry. I had it at one point in my life, but I'm blanking because I'm aging and I have carpal tunnel now, apparently. But it's a very interesting story. I think about this story all the time, and it's so poignant to me now more than ever because it's about this Nigerian man living in Nigeria, and it's his family history, like how he grew up, their customs, their society, like he's from this clan, and what it was like for him to grow up in Nigeria. And then at one point, British colonialism happens and like Christian missionaries come through, and it like, it just changes everything. And I always think about that because I'm like, they show up and it's just like white people and they're like telling you how things should go, and they start committing like fucked up crimes. Like, it's like a lot. But it's the most interesting book I ever read because I remember at the time reading it in college being like, oh, like, this is fucking it. This is our country. Like, this is the world. Like, and again, this all happens in Nigeria. But everything, it just, it's all connected. Like how white people have decided they know what's right. They know what's right for black people. They know what's right for any immigrant. They know what's right. And it's really horrifying,
yeah,
how that influence of how white people, because this happened, you know, before like what was going on in America, like, you know, I don't know, the juxtaposition of the pre-colonial life to the post-colonial life, like it's unbelievable. Like, and it's the name of the book, Things Fall Apart. Like, that's what happened in this country. Like, they came, yeah, here. They had a plan. They were like, we will steal, kidnap black people from Africa and make them work for us. And the second, you know, they want too much, you know, we'll either kill them or, you know, in this, they were freed with very, you know, and I do want to stress, like, you know, Abraham Lincoln freeing the slaves. Like, it's not some pretty fucking picture.
No.
That's a whole other thing. Like, he freed the slaves not because he, like, Abraham Lincoln had slaves. This fool wasn't like, oh, I really give a shit. It was more like, it was like he just wanted, it was straight up politics. That's what it was. To that day, like, during that time, it was like politics. Like, things were performative in a way. Like, well, I'm going to free these people because I just want to unite everyone. I want to unite this entire country into one. It had nothing to do with the black life. White politicians don't give a shit. They live in their own bubbles. And Abraham Lincoln, yeah, lived in that bubble as well. So, I don't know.
He was a politician. And I think what's really important to understand is that even after slavery was abolished, black people were still discriminated against, even, yeah, now.
Yeah.
Slavery, well, first of all, like, legalized slavery, you can make an argument. I mean, it's true. Like, just the prison system is just legalized slavery. But I will say that systemic racism is still a part of this society.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you just look up what that means, look up the concept of redlining. Redlining is literally a fucking white official in some fucking city office sectioning off different parts of a neighborhood and saying, this part is not good to invest in. This part is. Basically, that's the concept of what, like, a good neighborhood is. A good neighborhood is one that you're able to buy a house in. A family is able to get a loan for their house or whatever. But the communities that black people are living in, they were redlined and sectioned off as not profitable and not invested and not worth investing in. So that's why you have poor communities that are usually people of color. There's a reason for that. There's a really disgusting reason for that. And that's because racism is apparent in every facet of the society. So I strongly encourage you, if you want the actual, just Google the concept of redlining. It's still happening now. And it's the reason why a black family that's in the middle, like a middle-class black family, is less likely to get a loan than a low income white family because of where they grew up, because of where they because of where their house is located. It's just it's a prevalent practice that is just one facet of how racist this country is. Mm-hmm. But the same I mean, it's just like affirmative action exists for a reason, because the kid that grew up in that red line district does not have the same opportunities as the kid that grew up two streets down in the same neighborhood, but an unredlined neighborhood, if that makes sense. And this boils down to the way schools are funded and everything. A school in a red line neighborhood won't get enough funding, and that's why you have poorer schools and more crowded classrooms. It's just a really disgusting practice of this country. And just because slavery is over does not mean that Black people haven't experienced extreme injustice at every corner of their life.
Yeah, and it's started a long time ago and it's still going on. So, without us, the people who have the privilege, it's not going to stop. Like, no. We have to take the steps to stop it. And yeah, I recommend check out the Things Fall Apart.
Yeah. I will. I've heard about it for sure.
It was published in 1958, but obviously, I guess we can't technically go to a bookstore because it's a pandemic, but
support Black-owned bookstores. Yeah. Look up Black-owned bookstores. There are plenty of resources. Buy a book from a Black-owned bookstore along those same lines. Like, consume Black culture and entertainment right now. Like, America loves Black culture, but not Black people. It's so disgusting. Americans are obsessed with Black people, but not in a way that makes them fight for them all the time. Like, the guy friends that I know, or the people that the white guys I know that are obsessed with Tupac and Biggie and quote them at every like opportunity, or like use Black emojis, they're silent right now. Like, where's your love for the actual people behind the things that you consume? So I encourage you to support Black businesses right now if you're able. Buy from Black bookstores.
Black restaurants.
Black restaurants.
Keep them alive.
Keep them alive. And also watch like the 13th.
Yeah, or 13th. Watch the 13th on Netflix, which is a documentary by Ava DuVernay, which, you know, talks about mass incarceration and the racism you see in the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery throughout the United States, but
it's alive and well.
It didn't, you know. It
didn't do enough. It's not, it's just a Band-Aid. They give Black people these crumbs to pacify them, and it's not enough. They're still subjected to extreme racism. And so
they disenfranchise, I mean, since day one, Black people have been disenfranchised literally as in they were brought to this country as slaves. They had no rights. And while they freed them, it didn't get any better. Like, people still viewed them for what they saw them as, which was formerly slaves, which is, I mean, it's time to wake up. I know it's like a lot of us have lived in a life where we're like, well, I'm not racist, but we live in a world that upholds racist systems. And just saying I'm not racist isn't enough. You have to, again, we keep stressing this, use your privilege to vote out people who do not care about Black lives. You need to give your money to organizations that are working to fix this, you know, oppression towards Black people and brown people. You have to read. And that actually brings me to this resource that these women didn't have to do this, but they did. And it's Brianna Wallace and Autumn Gupta. And they basically created a lesson plan. This is what they wrote. Hello, our names are Brianna and Autumn, and we're a dynamic duo committed to the mission of spreading truth, love, and awareness. Spearheaded by Autumn, we've created this detailed resource that compiles ways to learn, inform, and act to support those in the Black community. So we will share this link. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's set up in a way where, say you have 10 minutes a day, say you have 25 minutes a day, say you have 45 minutes a day, you can go based off those links, and it sets up basically what to read for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's all split up. It's like, well, read this, watch this, listen to this podcast, sign this petition, write your local government rep asking about these certain topics, or check, literally Google if your city has, you know, X, Y, and Z. Another one, you know, I was reading it the other day. It says, Google whether your city or town currently employs evidence-based police de-escalation training. Do they? Do they not? Well, write to your city council or your town government representative and police chief and ask for it. Advocate. Use your privilege to advocate. Because guess what? They listen to white people. They don't listen to black people. I don't know if you've been listening to us, but they don't. This government system is not built for black people, which is why we need to use our privilege now, hate to say it, but more than ever, to stand up for people who deserve to be stood up for, considering this whole country exists because they built it for us.
Yeah.
And that's the least you could do.
It's the least you could do. And I mean, yeah, you're completely right. These women did not have to spoon feed you anything. But they made an amazing document, an amazing resource that people can go to, because I know if you're listening to this podcast, you have time to commit 10 minutes a day, however many minutes a day, to educating yourself a little bit about something that you might need educating on. So I strongly encourage you to take initiative in your time, especially if you're working from home right now with COVID, especially if you're just, I know you have the time. If you really want to educate yourself and learn and grow, you can do that. It just takes yourself not making another excuse.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it's as easy as downloading the Code Switch podcast. Download it.
Yeah.
It's a podcast from NPR. Listen to an episode called The Decade of Watching Black People Die. Just, you know, an hour of your day. And all of a sudden, you're that much more informed towards the strife that black people have gone through, that every day to this day they go through. It's, you know, when this pandemic started, I was like, I'm going to read all the books on Oprah's book club. And, you know, slowly I realized that'd be very hard. But the books I was drawn to the most were the Toni Morrison books, because she writes about these worlds where, one, you know, some of these books, you're kind of like, okay, this is, you know, whatever, whatever. It's just a story about a white family in the South with a secret. It's like, okay, whatever. But I'm drawn to Toni Morrison because I feel like she writes these stories and it's accessible. It doesn't feel like, I don't consider myself to be the smartest person. You know, I have my own shit where I get into my head and be like, you're not smart enough to understand this. But the great thing about authors like Toni Morrison is she makes it accessible. It makes me feel like I'm truly learning about a different time that I didn't experience and I will never experience because of my skin color. And, it's as easy as just Googling books to read. Books to read about the Black experience.
Yeah. And I do want to add something just to circle back to sending. If you're not able to donate, there's another resource that I want to make sure you know about, which is going to be in our footnotes. Someone, another kind soul out there, they compiled a document with all the templates that are available right now, and he's been adding to them, with emails that you can send to government officials on behalf of Breonna Taylor and Tony McDade, and just basically to your officials to demand defunding of the police. And it's really broken down in a really good way. So if you are making the excuse that I don't know what to write, I don't know what to say, it's literally written for you sentence by sentence. All you have to do is plug in your name and where you're from. Sometimes it's only even just your name. We are recording this on June 4th. Tomorrow is June 5th. It would have been Breonna Taylor's 27th birthday. But she was an EMT. Literally on the front lines of COVID. It doesn't matter what job she had, it was still a disgusting way to treat someone. But the fact that this woman was helping other people and then her country betrayed her in the most egregious way. If you don't know the story, I encourage you to Google it. But to summarize, she was asleep in her bed in the middle of the night. Cops broke down her front door in her apartment and shot her 8 times in her bed. Their excuse was that they had the wrong house, when the guy they wanted was already in custody. It was an excuse. They killed her, and this was in March. Yeah. And her murderers are still working. And so I bring this up because you can write an email to the mayor's office and to the police department to say, I demand justice for Breonna Taylor. And I really do think the cops that were behind George Floyd's murder, the only reason the rest of the cops got arrested And even the only reason fucking Chauvin or whatever the fuck you pronounce that monster's
Derek
name,
I think. Chauvin?
Yeah, fucking chauvinist.
Yeah, isn't that weird that it's so similar to chauvinist? Huh.
But I really do think the constant emails and the constant talking about on social media, that's why action was taken. Our voice does matter. That's why you need to be active on social media. It's not kindness does not save Black lives. Action does. So it's not enough just be like just to assume that people know that you're with Black Lives Matter. Make them 100% sure that they know that you're with Black Lives Matter. Make a post on social media. Talk to your family about things that are going on in the world. Start conversations. It's not enough just to be kind and know internally that you're a good person, because other people need to know. The fact that the masses are coming together, that's why change is happening. But yeah, again, all the resources in our footnotes. I guess, yeah, just consume everything you can right now. Educate yourself. It's not hard to watch a movie. It's not hard to listen to an audiobook or a podcast. Just do what you can and be an active member in the society. And I will say, if you do protest, I encourage you to protest. Please wear a mask. Mm-hmm. Please wear clothes and shoes that you're comfortable to run in, because that's the reality.
I didn't know this, but don't wear contacts, because if you get the gas or spray, it's just not good with contact. I honestly didn't know this, but...
But there, again, along the same lines, resources to know what to do, what to prepare when you go protest. And if you are participating in protesting, I encourage you to try to get tested for COVID soon after. Yeah. LA is making it very hard because they closed test centers down.
Clear punishment for caring about Black lives. I don't care how Eric Garcetti defends it, our mayor, but
that's 100%.
He should resign.
Curfews are.
For sure.
Curfews are making it harder for protesters. They're making it so... This is what angers me so much. The idea of curfews and the idea of closing these centers down, they're making the public try to hate the protesters. They're making the public try to think that the protesting is an inconvenience to them. Because the people that get off work at 6 p.m. and try to get home... They're at risk now. People of color that are working and just trying to get home and commuting, the National Guard and all the police everywhere, they're making it harder for people to get home by this fucking bedtime curfew. So don't fucking buy into that. Protesting is not the inconvenient thing. It's not the source of all your fucking problems. And don't you dare fucking make the argument that like looting and rioting is violent and making all this worse. No, you can't make that argument. If you're not pushed to the point of desperation, you have no right to judge the way an oppressed group reacts. You have no right to judge the way an oppressed group is demanding justice. It is not your place if you're not part of that group. And there are obviously people that are taking advantage of the Black Lives Matter protesting, people that are just looting things, and a lot of white people, to be honest, are making it really hard for the Black protesters. And these white people are not actually with Black Lives Matter. They're just in it for themselves. But that's not the movement. And if you're intelligent enough to know that, you know that already. And I know that I've been ranting, but I'm just heated.
Yeah. So get tested if you can, or quarantine for 14 days, because you have
to. Then you rinse and repeat. You rinse and repeat.
We're still in a global pandemic that is now being ignored, which I'm sure Trump loves.
Yeah.
But we hope these resources were helpful for you. We hope you take the initiative to keep this movement rolling. Keep it going. Don't become complacent. I know it's very easy to become complacent if you are not directly affected, but just remember that's human life. No one should be murdered by the police. It's human life.
That's not something to be controversial. It shouldn't be a controversial statement at all. But yeah, as Anna said, there is still a global health pandemic going on. My sister's a doctor, and if you have a medical professional in your life, they've probably expressed anxiety about the surge in cases that is likely to come because of this protesting. So we have to just take care of each other and stay healthy. And if you do go out and protest and you feel like you've put yourself at risk, get tested, wait 2 weeks, go out again. Like, we can't win the fight if we're not healthy. So I think there's just a lot to consider, and it's okay to ask questions. just don't ask your Black friends. Ask someone else, because there's a lot of emotional labor that they're already processing. So yeah, next week, there's going to be a Q&A episode that we recorded on May 18th. So it was kind of before a lot of this upheaval started. So it's a little bit more of like a light-hearted episode. So we wanted to really push that until a different time. So next week, just keep in mind it was recorded on May 18th and we had a good time doing it. So I feel like we'll probably do another Q&A episode in the future and ask you guys what you guys want to know. But until then, I hope you guys enjoy this one. And yeah, this is Ethnically Ambiguous. And you can follow us at Ethnically Amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and Ethnically Ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. We're constantly sharing and posting things about what's going on right now. So I encourage you to follow us and follow the people that we recommend to follow and who we repost. I'm Shireen. It's ShiroHero on Instagram and ShiroHero666 on Twitter.
And I'm at Anna Hosni on Twitter. And again, we are both sharing resources on our social medias. And please check out our show social medias to see all the resources we are sharing. And then check out our footnotes, which I've relabeled as resources to make it as clear as possible. So, yeah, check that out. And keep fighting for what matters.
Yeah.
Until next time. Which is equality for every single person. And always remember that skin color is never a reason to judge a person, please.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not. I personally believe it's not that wild of a statement, but you would exactly be surprised.
It's really crazy how people can disagree on just being human beings that care about other human beings. Like, I posted this, but like the mental gymnastics that I feel like some people go through just to like avoid feeling empathy is really disgusting to me. And I just don't know why it's so hard to convince people to care about other people that don't look like them. It's really astonishing. But you just have to keep going. We have to keep fighting and do what we know is right.
Yeah. And again, I was going to actually recommend this before, but check out Unicorn Riot. They're covering a lot of what's going on.
Yeah, I noticed them in your document too, the donation document.
Yeah, you can donate to them, but they're a great source to watch what's really happening on the streets with the riots versus the local news, which I've been watching just to see what's going on, that only covers the looting and nothing else. And it's some racist shit, man. It's really hard to watch. Like, you're just like, are you
That's what people,
me?
That's how they're making people like angry at like that's all part of their fucking game. Don't buy their fucking game. It is all bullshit. It is making the like the rest of the country think the protesting is bad. That's the old lady on Twitter that I got in an argument with. I'm sure she only fucking watches her dumb news networks that are showing her this stuff, because that's what she was saying. She made this idiotic statement, but she believes it so much. She thinks that the protesters are pushing for more violence against Black people. Like, she thinks that is a root of the protesting. That is a wild thing to think. To think that people are united in that kind of disgusting behavior, that is wild to me. So please just open your eyes, educate yourself and the people around you. And ultimately, this is all unchecked privilege. Because unchecked privilege becomes unchecked power. And people become too comfortable in the power that they have over others because they benefit from the society. They've benefited from a society that has been built for them, that has been giving them every opportunity and everything possible that they have. Why would they want to change it? They're thriving in this corrupt system. Basically, it's not a white versus Black issue. It is racism versus everyone else. So please, be everyone else.
Correct.
And I yield my time.
Thank you so much.
I yield my time. If you guys haven't seen that, look that up.
Yeah, thank you. And remember, Black Lives Matter. Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.